Welcome to the Money Lab Live Podcast, episode number 86, the work hard to get rewarded money story. All right, welcome back to another live broadcast of the Money Lab Podcast. I am your host, Wei Hong, and this is the podcast where we give you tips, strategies, and interviews with other entrepreneurs on how to create that ultimate entrepreneurial lifestyle free of bad money stories, money anxiety, and stress so that you can monetize your dreams and execute your genius. Now, if you haven't already downloaded our free ebook, From Money Anxiety to Six-Figure Mastery, make sure you go to go.thesixfiguremastery.com and get it there. It's the perfect complement to all the things we discuss on the show, and quite frankly, it could change your life. Now, if you're joining us live today and you are not on YouTube Live, not sure what's going on because you're going to miss this visage of our guest, beautiful guest today, but if in case you can't, you just can't make it, then make sure you get on Spreaker.com or download the Spreaker app on your mobile device and search for the hashtag or pound, or I just learned in Japan they call it sharp. They literally call it sharp instead of pound. The Money Lab. So hashtag The Money Lab so that you can join us in the chat room, ask questions, and interact with us and our guests. And while you're there, subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. You can catch us every week. For all of the ways to find us, go to thesixfigureacademy.com/radio for all the details. And if there's something that you love about what you hear on this episode today, and I almost guarantee that you will, and you know that what you hear could help someone you care about, remember, sharing is caring. Share the show to that person. The sooner, the better. Now, I'm really excited about our show today because we are going to hear from someone all the way from Down Under is joining us today. And for those of you who don't know what Down Under is, that's Australia. And then so one of the things, like we always say, we want to make sure that you key in on a few things, gemstones that are guaranteed to come out in this discussion today, in our interview, is a few things that you'll listen for is the importance of trusting your journey, process, and genius for increased money flow. Also, you want to look for how working hard doesn't always translate to more money. Oh, I can't wait to hear about that piece. And how to finally trust your intuition of what is right for you. So our guest today is Nicola Moraes, and she is passionate about helping business owners and companies generate results from social media and digital marketing while creating strong personal brands. I'm not going to go too much into her bio because I'd rather hear it directly from her, but she's had a 12-year career in financial services and transitioned into helping business owners, helping, you know, not just launch her own business, but other business owners on doing the same thing, taking that background and doing that. And there's just so much that she's done. She's been vlogging on a regular basis since 2011. She was a guest blogger for Arianna Huffington's Thrive Global since 2016, and she has been featured on Huffington Post, Influencive, Working Woman Magazine, Boss Babe, Gloss Magazine. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. Now, what's funny is, despite living in a very popular, highly populated country, Nicola actually lives in what she calls the middle of nowhere in a regional Australia in a town called Mildura. But I'm sure we'll find a little bit more about that. But what I love about her message and what she strives for and how she serves and her purpose is, she wholeheartedly believes that you are your best and your most important asset, and that you should become omnipresent on social media. And so takes this holistic effort in digital marketing with the view of getting results. I mean, she believes in the power of you and how you uniquely express yourself in this world through the technology that we have available to us. So anyway, welcome to the show, Nicola. So happy that you were able to get up, get prettied up, and be on the show with us.
It was very early.
But you made it, and you look absolutely, I mean, you actually show up pretty well in the morning. I was telling you earlier before we got on. So that's amazing.
Thank God you invented makeup.
Yeah. You know, if you woke me up at 5:30 to do this, I'd be like, can I just do it from bed? So So yeah, I'm really excited about it on so many different levels. But you know, true to the whole purpose of this show, let's go ahead and start and get that piece out of the way. The Money Lab is really all about helping people understand that there is a money story that drives all of us, either the good, the bad, and the ugly of our financial journey to success. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, remember today's episode is called the Work Hard to Get Reward story, and that is because that was the money story that you grew up with. Right?
Absolutely.
So let's talk about that. I mean, what was your money story that you grew up with, and how did that impact your journey in business and entrepreneurship and what you do today? And let's share the good, the bad, and the ugly about all of that.
Yeah, great. I think, first of all, you know, thanks for having me. Yeah. I'm really excited to be here very early, but bright and shiny and ready to go.
Yeah. And you perfectly match your background, too. It's like brilliant.
And that was not done intentionally. I think it's really interesting. My parents were both people who really embodied that work hard, get rewarded thing, right? From a very, very young age, my father was in the armed forces. Mm-hmm. My mum was someone that would work multiple jobs to make sure that, you know, she could kind of pick up the slack. And then Dad would also always be making stuff in the shed. So he was really great with his hands, and he'd make rocking horses and do up bikes and things like that and kind of sell them.
So were all your toys like built by your dad when you were growing up?
Some, not all. But and then he'd sell them.
Okay. So he'd let you play with it, then he'd take it away from you and sell it.
This is really great. This is really great. We're going to sell that. No, not really. No. He would do things up, or he would make different things and then sell them, and, you know, things like that. So they were always looking for different ways to be able to supplement their income.
Right.
I guess, and try and provide myself and my brother the best type of lifestyle that they thought that they could provide. But the only way that they could really see how to do that at that time was by putting in more hours, taking on another job, doing something else. And so it was that constant running on the treadmill to try and bring things through.
Right. Never heard anybody go through that before.
I'm sorry?
I said, I never heard anybody go through that before. That's like,
no, it's so weird. I know. It's really uncommon. But then they're also really entrepreneurial thinkers as well. So they were always looking for other opportunities. We moved states when I was about 8 years old, and they started to get into products and putting things into stores on consignment and kind of broaching into the retail market.
Cool.
Then they opened up their own stores, and that I'm sure it's similar over there. Some of these companies that own shopping centers, like malls and things like that, their rent is ridiculously high, and they are ruthless. They're
they're not. So they got caught up in that.
They got caught up in all of that, and they didn't deliver on what they'd promised and all this, that, and the other. So they ended up losing a lot of money, like more than $500,000.
Wow.
Through that whole process, and got out, and – you know, but they worked their backsides off. So what was really interesting, I think, to me is that as I've kind of gotten older and gotten into my career, and it was like, okay, well, I've got to put in more hours. I've got to work really hard. And, you know, yes, we got rewarded, but at the expense of my health, you know, really that's kind of what it came down to for me. So going through burnout cycles and things like that before.
So you followed their model. You followed their model of building business and working.
Just like
working your patootie off, basically.
That's right. You know, grind it. If you're not up at 5 a.m., you've got to get up. You know, if you go to bed at 9, you can not go to bed. You know, put in an extra hour. I'm like, dude.
Wow.
No. So for me, the way that I've sort of learned to, you know, you talked before about one of the points around like trusting your intuition and taking the cues around what's being told to you essentially in your energy, in your results and things like that, I tend to need to learn my lessons the hard way and experience a lot of pain.
You too?
What is with that? It's insane, isn't it?
Yeah, it's I think it's a human condition about, you strive to hit rock bottom just so that you can get that, smack yourself in the face so that you can actually finally wake up. It's like that catharsis. Yeah, we seek the catharsis as an inspiration for change, which is so dysfunctional.
It is, and it's almost like sadistic.
It is sadomasochist.
Yeah, that's right. Why do we have to hurt so bad to make changes? So the good thing to come out of all of that is that, well, I've learned a better way of doing it, and consequently, it's much more aligned, and I'm very selective around if it is, about getting up at 5 a.m.
And doing a
because I've
podcast at
just
five
spent it.
30.
Yes, we were talking at 5:30. It's because I want to do it, not because I feel like I have to do it in order to grind and make money and be seen and, all of that kind of stuff. So.
And I think that's a very important distinction to talk about. And I just talked about this with a client yesterday, which was, people intermix the two, want and have to, are intermixed in their language, and they don't realize how significantly different that is. I literally had to sit and stop my client and say, "How does it feel when you say have to?" Just kind of calibrate on that. How does it feel when you say I want to? Right? So how did you make that switch? Because you probably are still doing working just as much as you were, but now that you want to, what's the difference as opposed to I have to?
That's an excellent question. I don't work as much as what I did when I first started. When I first started, I was up at, I have 3 children as well. So I was up at like 6 a.m. I'd work before they got up, and then I'd feed them, get them to school, get them to childcare, get them to, all out of the house. I'd come home, I'd work, and then I'd run and get them up, get them from school, and come home, and then work, and then feed them dinner, and then work, and I'd end up in bed at like 1 or 2 a.m. wired, because I felt like I needed, like there was almost like this sense of urgency around having to get it done. And I mean, that was the first burnout cycle. That was clearly sustainable. So there was that side of things. But then I think for me, where the shift came was I really had to be firm with myself around boundaries.
Boundaries.
Yeah. So
And
it's
what do you
like,
mean by
oh,
boundaries? I mean, because boundaries are used in a variety of different areas of life. It could be a relationship, it could be health, it could be work. I mean, for you specifically, what were the boundaries that were the most important, game changers, if you will?
really making sure that I commit to myself and to my family what my start time is and when I'm finishing.
Oh, so you
So,
trained the family to leave you alone.
yes, pretty much. So, like, it's like being really strong with work hours. So, it's a bit like if you've got a job, you go to the office and you start at a certain time, you finish at a certain time, and then it's kind of like sometimes you've got that space. You might work from home or whatever. For me, my choice was, all right, well, I'm not going to work before 9 a.m. so I can go and do the school run, and my husband works an hour away and he leaves a bit earlier than what I need to be here for. So that's great. Go do the school run. I start work at just before 9 and then I finish at 6. I'll go and pick up the kids from school, but they have to leave me alone until 6. It's like, love you guys. See you at dinner. So that for me, by creating those 2 very defined boundaries around my start time and my finish time, I'm actually a heck of a lot more productive because I'm time bound. So that, and again, it's not about working harder, it's just about working smarter and working more efficiently.
Yeah, more precisely. I mean, how did they take it when you started saying putting these boundaries down? It's like, hey, look, this is what I need to do. Was there any resistance in the beginning at first, or?
No, because they ended up seeing me more.
Oh,
That
nice.
was the thing, right?
But did they
So,
know that though? In the beginning, when you started putting it down, was there any kind of apprehension, like, well, when were we gonna get to play with you or be with you?
no, they know from 6 o'clock, they get me wholeheartedly. They get all of
Nice.
me rather than me trying to dance or trying to rush back to the office or to trying to do whatever. So they were
Right.
actually like, this is going to be excellent.
Yeah. I think that's such an important thing. I mean, you basically, kind of explored the difference between multitasking and having a single-threaded approach on getting things done, right? I mean, it reminds me of that book by Henry Evans called The Hour Day Entrepreneur, where he only had an hour a day to build his business. And what he did was he ended up building a multimillion-dollar business just working an hour a day because he had a day job. He had his family, just like, you were talking about, and he was committed to spending an hour with his wife, an hour with the kids every day, no matter what, and then having dinner with them. And so by the time he could work, it was only from 9 to 10 every day. And so he learned to be super precise, kind of like what you're talking about here. Yeah,
It's
that's
almost like
fantastic.
military precision, just
Yeah. And I guess the challenge is then when you first started going into that space of what we call time blocking things out and having a single threaded approach, was it challenging at first to kind of like get yourself focused on what am I supposed to do in these 2 hours, or how do I make the 2 hours the most efficient possible?
It took me a while to find my groove, yes, because rather than having this endless amount of time or feeling like you've got this endless amount of time, when you've got that feeling like it's kind of shrunken time to be able to work within, for me, it's like, okay, well, it took a while to learn how to prioritize. It took a while to learn internally, right? How do I still get everything done in a week that I need to get done without being anxious and without feeling overwhelmed and stressed and, that there's like this never-ending freaking to-do list that, just keeps getting things added onto it rather than having things crossed off. So that prioritizing, and I learned to become very clear around where it is that I'm going and reverse engineering it all through.
Oh, cool.
So,
So what do you mean
yeah,
reverse
rather than
engineer?
just.
How did you give me an example of what you did to like reverse engineer one of your processes so that you can optimize it?
Yeah, cool. So I run an event usually once a year, sometimes twice a year. So if I use that as an example, so we've got an event that I'm running in May next year here in Australia. And it's like, okay, that's great. So that's the goal. How many people do I want in the room? What needs to happen? And then what needs to happen the month before that? And then what needs to happen the month before that? So working it backwards.
Right. Start with the end in mind, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
Exactly. And I do that with
It
my
actually worked. It's not theory.
content planning. Sorry?
It actually works. It's not theory because we hear it all the time and people
I
just don't do it because like, oh, that's just theory.
know. That's right. No, it works. And it works well for me. So long as I know what it is that I need to do, then I'm good. It's where I'm, if I'm a bit vague or, I'm not really clear on what it's going to look like or how it's going to pan out. That's where I end up on that treadmill of, that hamster wheel of, oh yeah, I'll do that and then I'll do that and then I get distracted by the shiny things
Right.
and things like that. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
I think as an entrepreneurial a challenge all the time getting distracted by shiny new things. Because I think it's because we're always searching for ways to improve things. They're searching for ways. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I get distracted by something shiny when I'm in the course of the day, it's usually because it inspires me to, oh, I could do this for my business, or I could do something to make things better in my business. How do you get, is that your shiny object too, typically?
Absolutely.
That new
Yes.
software or that new app or that new piece of technology that'll just make things
Yes.
better.
Yeah, and then you spend 3 hours researching it, which
I
is
know.
unhelpful.
It's like that rabbit hole of just like, oh, this is cool. And you start looking at all the different features and you start to formulate in your mind how this would apply and map it across.
Exactly.
I mean, I guess there's, and I've since dedicated certain, I blocked off time to do rabbit hole research to how to improve the business.
Brilliant.
So the money story that you had is a very common money story where it's almost like it goes down to like trading time for dollars, you know, that you invest a certain amount of time. It's almost like a linear approach when in fact, entrepreneurship, especially entrepreneurship instead of just regular business owning, but entrepreneurship is a little bit more organic and more exponential. Ideally, when you do things right, it's a logarithmic and so, as opposed to linear way of, that's my engineer coming through, logarithm instead of a linear way of growth, right? So,
Yes.
you know, because so many people probably grew up with the same type of money story, that in order to get your A, in order to get your reward, gold star, you have to work your butt off. You have to kind of put in your blood, sweat, tears, and everything like that. And to justify, to some degree, justify the reward that you get. How did you break away from that? Because so many people struggle and spend their life never breaking away from that money story.
It's really hard, I think, to start with, because it can feel like for me, it was so ingrained. And I know not only my parents, but also my grandparents on both sides, you know, they like historically through my family, they've all worked really hard. And it's kind of like like going through a repatterning process, I guess, for want of a better word. It's like it's a relearning process around, well, and it almost feels like you're cutting off an arm.
Because
Trying something different. It feels counterintuitive.
exactly.
It's
I
like
love that.
I've got to, it's like, you know, trying to be like, you know, with social media, we've got to put out all this content. We've got to put out this content. So you just go into a whole blah blah instead of it being well thought out, structured, you know, strategic. Some people are just like blah blah. So, you
We call that
know,
diarrhea
because they feel
social
like they've got
mediaing.
to do all of the things, right? So for me, it was like, well, what would happen if I kind of stepped back and just tried it, and it felt really hard at first. But sometimes to me, it's like, well, we've got to step back and experience a completely different reality, I guess, and see what plays out. And for me, that probably the big decision around that for me was, number one, working so hard all of the time is not sustainable. Secondly, this is not what I signed up for. You know, I signed up to create, you know, the typical entrepreneur buzzwords, freedom, you know, flexibility, you know, all of that. And it's like, I don't have that. That's not coming out. So why am I really doing this? And so for me, actually, again, you know, I've had these different things happening, not frequently, but different things come up and you've got to make new decisions. And for me, it was really late 2017 where I've gone, you know what, there actually has to be a better way, and I'm no longer willing to do things in the way that I always have. If it's not fun, if it's not adding value, and if it's not creating transformation for my people, I am not doing it.
And I'm sure you were already thinking that way before. So what was the difference this time in 2017? Was it because you got burnt out so many different times and the cycle kept repeating that you finally said enough is enough?
Yeah.
I mean, what was
It
that?
became not negotiable.
So what was, of all the different times that you were running this cycle, why was this last time in 2017 the one? What made it so significant and visceral that you said enough? I'm done with that.
Yeah, great question. My mental health, actually. You know, I'm typically upbeat, I'm typically extroverted. Sometimes I'm introverted, depends on what's going on. But you know, I'm a high energy person and I love what I do. And I went through a period for about 3 months where I didn't really want to get out of bed. I was not motivated to work. I was not, it was just too, it it all was just too much.
Had that ever happened before? For 3 months? I
Not
don't know.
to that level. No.
Right.
I mean, it's a bit like relationships, right? You know, you can fall in love with you fall in love in and out of love with your business, I think, and with what's going on and stuff like that. But this was like, I wanted to divorce it and never see it again. It was just like, oh.
So what kept you from doing that? Because a lot of people sometimes end up doing that. They end up quitting altogether, you know. I have friends that literally were entrepreneurship for decades, and they disappear for a little bit, and the next time I talk to them, they're working for corporate America.
Yeah, well, that was a consideration, except corporate Australia, not corporate America. So, like, my thinking around that was, well, what are my options? And it's like, I can go back and get a job, go back into corporate, and then I was like, that would just kill my soul. You know, having someone tell me what to do every day, you know, it's different if it's on my terms,
I
but.
can't even imagine. I mean, now that you mention that, I was like, oh wow, I don't know. I mean, I'm a bit of a what you call a breakthrough coach, so I will challenge everything that comes out of that person's mouth.
That's it. That's it. It's like we can do this in a better way.
Is that really what you mean, or do you mean something else? I mean, let's look at the language that you said of your request.
Exactly. That's right. Maybe if you phrase it like this. You know? So there was that. And then I thought, I really love renovating houses,
Oh, wow.
right? So I was like, oh, I could just go and renovate and that'd be great. And
Yeah.
just I get my hands dirty, you know, physical labor.
Yeah.
And that was probably the most enticing option, actually.
Wow. I
But
have a hard time
then I
imagining you
wouldn't.
in a construction outfit with a hard hat and gloves.
Yeah, like we'd have to have like some little detail and stuff on it. But, you know, I love turning something that's really ugly or dysfunctional or whatever into something that's really beautiful and amazing. So it's still kind of plays in with the whole transformation thing that I love, but with a house instead of a marketing plan. But I guess, like, to me, like the other options didn't make sense. And this is where it came back to we talked a bit earlier about trusting your intuition. And I remember sitting down and I wrote out, what is it that I want if money is no issue? If time is no issue, what am I doing? What do I actually want to do? And what can I do all day, every day without, you know, kind of stressing or, you know, still doing my best and wanting to deliver? But really, what is it that I'm here to do? And just the resounding thing was I'd be speaking, I'm running events, and I'm helping people. Like, that in my area of mastery in, with marketing and things like that. So it's like, because that's fun. Like, that's fun to me. So as soon as I made that decision to take off the pressure around having to get back to doing $1 million a year or getting back to, you know, where we've been in the past and all of this type of BS. Expectations, self-imposed expectations around what I should be making or what I should be doing or what I should be selling or how I should be operating. It was just like the floodgates open, and I'm like, right, great,
Then
let's
all of a
go.
sudden,
And it was almost like flicking a switch.
grace and
So.
ease started to flow. It just started to happen. And so this leads to what we were talking about in the beginning, which was like, you know, I think what you came across is the importance of, you know, trusting yourself, trusting what you're called to do and what is like yearning and crying inside. It's like, this is what I want. This is what I want. That inner child, right? And the byproduct of that, of course, is the money started to flow much better than before because, you know, you're having fun doing it. Now a lot of people, I'm sure, like they hear that. I hear this all the time. They know what they hear what their calling is. They hear what they're excited about, and then they question it, and then they doubt it. You know, how did you overcome that piece? Because I think that's, I mean, we all, I mean, as entrepreneurs, we all go through that at some point, right?
Absolutely. It's actually really funny because I As a child,
Right.
and I know you'll be completely surprised by this, and it'll come as quite a shock. We lived in the, like, as a child, we lived in the middle of nowhere, and then we moved to the city. But we had a big property that, in the back of our property, overlooked crops, so like farmland.
Oh.
And there was these really big, massive fence posts, right? The size of, oh golly, like three dinner plates,
Wow.
right? So there's three or four dinner plates around. So, and I would stand on those, on the fence posts, and I would sing to the crops, right? And I would perform and things like that. And at one point, I was told that my voice wasn't particularly great. I didn't have an excellent singing voice. And I was just like, oh, devastated. So to me, like the thing that I've always done since being a very young child and dreamt about doing was performing, entertaining, and being on stages or on television and doing all of that. Somewhere along the way, I came to the conclusion that because I couldn't sing and I didn't have the discipline for dancing, that the only way to be able to do that would be in that way. So it's like, oh, well, that mustn't be what I'm here to do.
Oh
That's
no.
not my calling,
Oh,
right?
you got squashed, and then all of a sudden you took that as a truth.
That's right. So I agreed with either myself or someone along the way
Right.
that that's not what was meant to
And how
happen.
old were you when you were doing the singing to the crops?
Oh, singing to the crops from the age of 10 through to 16.
You know what? That's so fascinating because something that I do with my clients and students all the time is to have them go back to the age of 8, 9, 10 to calibrate on what you're here to do in life.
So when my parents would have friends over, even before, like this is right from being like 2 years old, before we moved, or I said we moved states, we would have friends come over and I would call them customers and I would put on dance performances and sing to
That's
them. And
great.
so it's been in me for so long. But I think you asked the question about following your calling, and it wasn't really until I think, again, last year was really pivotal. 2017 was really pivotal for me in lots of different ways. And I think what I battled with from the time of, 2010 when I started this business through to even last year, I wanted to be on stage, but I thought somewhere along the way that that was ego driven versus calling driven. Right?
So you bought into a judgment of society or your family, people who don't have access to that desire, that driver, so to speak.
That's right.
Wow.
So I kind of battled with that to and fro thing as well. It's like, well, I do live in the middle of nowhere. We are 4.5 hours from the closest major town. Which doesn't necessarily feel like a really long way away to some, but it's a really
Yeah, especially when there's nothing else around to look at.
So there's this kind of thing. It's like, well, how can I do what I do? I need to do this to be able to make money. I can't travel all the time. So it was a really big battle, I guess. So end of last year, I'm like, screw it, take the money side out of it. It'll all work out. I'm just going to have to trust it because, the way that things had been going
Right.
was not working as optimally as I wanted it to be able to. So there had to be a better way. So it
Right.
took that courage,
Yeah.
that almost vomit-worthy leap off the cliff to kind of stop doing everything that I was doing and do things in a different way.
Yeah, because whatever you were doing before wasn't getting you what you wanted,
No,
ultimately. You know,
no.
the story that you grew up with wasn't producing, it wasn't ending right, so to speak.
No, that's right. That's right. I mean, I'm still happy to work hard in a finite period of time, but not in the way. It's not about putting in all of the hours, doing all of the things that are not feeding you.
Right. Like martyring yourself for the sake of making money.
That's right.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what a cool story. I mean, to kind of find out what your calling is, and then when you finally stepped into that space and just honored that piece, it's like, you know what? No, this is me. I mean, this is what I like to do. How did that then shift your business? I mean, you said you were in business since 2010, right? So that's seven. At that point, it was 7 solid years of applying an old money story or an old approach, and then going through the trials and tribulations of the different cycles of it, and then finding yourself, kind of sequestering yourself to bed for 3 months, and then having this epiphany. What and then so when you shifted and went into that space, what did that do for your business?
Oh my gosh, it's so much easier.
And I'm assuming it grew too.
It grew. I scaled it right back last year. So this year has been very much about rebuilding, growing it, where I'm not making the same money today as what I was 3 years ago, but I will and will surpass that because I know that, or I'll surpass that. I just that the people that we have coming through are freaking amazing way.
Compared
Like
to 3 years
my
ago.
clients, it's like you become completely, you become available to a different level of client. I believe that the universe, God, source, whatever you call it, absolutely has our back. And I would not have been able to have this conversation with you this time last year, right? So that the not just the clients, but the experiences that we have in our world completely changes. The people around us change. The whole reality of everything changes. My relationship with my kids has changed. The relationship with my husband has changed. My health is better. Everything, like literally every facet of our wheel of life, for example, is better as a result of drawing the line in the sand and being prepared to almost like step. It can feel like a step back because it's that counterintuitive thing, step back into following your bliss, your flow, working only in your zone of genius. And it's just like everything just works.
And how has that impacted how you ultimately show up to the people that you serve?
It's completely different. It's just better. It is a little different. It's not completely different. It is better. I'm a huge advocate for you being you, you showing up as you, you share your story, you wholeheartedly embrace what is you because that's really what's going to set you apart, right? That's what's going to make you stand out from the crowd. That's what's going to make you stand out on social media. So for me, it's been about embodying even more. Walking my talk even more without reservation. An example ran a 4-day event a couple of weeks ago with clients, and it was just they got all of me instead of 3/4 of me. So it's less. Again, it might sound a little counterintuitive, but it's almost like a bit less strategic and just trusting that everything that I do is going to work.
It's that trust piece that really starts to come into play. I mean, and it's not about trusting somebody else or trusting the process or any of that stuff. It's about trusting yourself finally.
Yes.
And allowing yourself to kind of just be you. I mean, when I used to teach a speaking class called Speaking with Purpose and Intent to help people not only overcome their fear of speaking, but also to speak more effectively. One of the things was, having people understand that you don't speak like me. You don't speak like that person next to you either. You find that unique way of self-expression and you embrace that, and what shows up is amazing as a result.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that it's really interesting. I think entrepreneurs are, and myself included in this a few years ago, quite heavily influenced by mentors and maybe the way that they've done it. And this ties in, I think, a bit to the, the good, the bad, the ugly, and your money story and stuff like that. Is like we see these people who are, in quotes, successful, who are doing things in the way that they do them, and quite often, I know I did for a while. There's different mentors that I've worked with where I've tried to do things in the way that they've done it, and it just doesn't work. So I think another big thing over the last, particularly over the last 12 months, has been around, well, trust in some elements of the processes, because you still have to follow the steps to bake a cake, right? So you can still follow that, but you can do it with flair. You can do it in your way rather than trying to make you fit a particular mold.
And I think it's that's really important because, people who are successful bakers, that's going back to that same analogy, right? Or same metaphor. When they first learn how to bake, they follow recipes to understand the nuances of if something is done one way, what kind of result happens? Something's done another way, what kind of result happens? And every baker, every chef, they have their own palate, their own perception of what things, the combination of things that taste like. And I think the ones that are the most successful, the ones that say, okay, great, I understand the foundation of this. Like you were saying, it's like, okay, let's add a little bit of this. Let's add a little bit of flair and see what happens then. And I think, and to a certain degree, us entrepreneurs, true entrepreneurs are a little bit like, mad scientists when it comes to creating solutions for problems in this world, except we guinea pig ourselves in the process as a way to kind of test it. I mean, real entrepreneurs guinea pig yourselves, right?
Yeah, that's
We put
right.
ourselves through the
Underneath
ringer.
the
We put ourselves through the ringer to get the results. And I, there's a part of me that has a kind of like that love-hate relationship with entrepreneurship. Just listening to your stories, like, a part of me is like, yeah, as much as I don't like putting myself through the ringer, there's a part of me that kind of enjoys that sadomasochistic. Because what comes out at the end, if we persevere and get through it all, is like, wow, this works, or wow, that didn't work, or, and then be able to push and pass that on. Right? Because what
Absolutely.
you teach your students and your clients and everything, I mean, it's not it most of it's probably not theory. In fact, you probably taking yourself through the process, like, yeah, that doesn't work, but see if it works for you. But I'm telling you, it's probably not gonna work.
You make whatever choices and decisions that you want to make. If you want my advice, this is
Right,
it. You go do
exactly.
what you want
Take it or
to
leave it. You're the horse. Drink the water if you're thirsty if you want.
That's it. That's it. That's it. Now, I'm a big advocate for frameworks versus this is the way that you have to do it. So there are things that we've tested, and you will have seen this. There's things that we've tested that work, but it's a framework versus this is how you have to do it. So that you've got the ability to individualize and tailor. And to me, the whole thing about business, the whole thing about entrepreneurship is about that individual growing in confidence, growing in certainty, growing the trust of themselves that they are enough, that what they have to share with the world is needed and wanted, that they are necessary, that their stuff, that their story is important. And the way that they can share that is unique to them. And it's just about them really finding their voice and then use the framework to get that voice out there.
I love that you say that because in the week six of my 7 week program, I literally start the week off with the monetization framework. And
Oh,
I tell them
nice.
it's like sticks and bricks. It's like no matter what happens to your business, if your business goes to hell in a handbasket, if you have this framework, just apply it to a different niche, apply it to a different business, and it'll still work. I love that you have that approach. I mean, it's like there's so many cool synergistic concepts and ideas that you and I both live by that it's like it's no wonder you're a guest on my show.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is why we get along so well.
I know. And then this is why you're probably going to come out next. You are coming out next year to be a speaker on our stage.
I am.
I
I'm
know.
So
So
excited.
fun. But
Yeah.
but anyway, before we get too carried away. Yeah, I mean, and I love that you mentioned that because it opens up the awareness for people who are listening to kind of really pay attention. If you missed this, understand that, you know, when you have your gurus or your coaches or your mentors, they're telling you based on their experience and their experience in working with others, a specific way to do it. It's not like taking it with a grain of salt, but understand it's a framework for you to ooze your own essence on top of it to make it your own. I think where people get challenges, they're really good. Kind of how we were raised in school. They're very good followers. They're very good
Yes.
workers. And they're not encouraged to think outside of the box beyond, okay, now that you mastered this process and sequence and you've seen one set of results, how do we take it to the next level? Right?
Exactly.
And I think a lot of what you did was almost a necessary component about working hard and making money to a certain degree. You saw one type of result, but it isn't as optimized as you would have liked because we can't vilify our journey. We can't vilify what we went through. Otherwise,
No.
we'll miss all the teachings and learnings we got out of it. So when you realize that working hard doesn't always translate to more money, it sounds like what you did was, okay, that's one way to do it, and that's not working.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. But it also came to the point where, you know what, the money that I'm making is actually not worth it.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
that's
just
good.
It is just I'm not willing to pay the price.
Right.
Of that. I mean,
how
for the way.
How important is it then for someone on this journey that you and I have both been on to take the time to understand at what point is money not worth it? What would be the deal breakers when it comes to, okay, here's $10 million. What's the deal break point of where $10 million is not even worth it? Is it important
Yeah.
for someone to avoid the catharsis by taking the time to kind of explore that?
That's a really excellent question. And I think it's different for each person.
Right.
To me, the thinking is around, all right, well, if someone paid me $10 million to do this, is what I have to pay
right. In
to
exchange,
make that
right?
worth it?
Yeah.
And, you know, going back, you could have offered me, you could have said, you can build a $10 million a year business, Nicola, doing what you've done for the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have said, thank you. No, I'm not willing to do that. The cost is too high.
And I think
and
that's
that
a very
was,
powerful boundary.
Yeah.
To be able to
yeah.
take ownership of. Because prior
yeah.
to you making that switch, were you as willing to take that type of a boundary to, or own that boundary before you made
no,
that switch?
No, because money is seductive.
Right. Yeah, it is.
Right?
It's very sexy.
and it can... I didn't do anything that was out of integrity,
right.
but I could see that if I kept going, growing the business the way that I wanted to grow, it would have ended up looking like something that I didn't want.
Right.
And what that would have looked like would have been a big team.
Right.
I don't want to have to manage a big team of people.
Right.
That is not my, I mean, I'm good at it. I mastered it, but it's not my genius.
Right.
It would have looked like perhaps like they would have had an impact on my family and doing work that is, you know, I'm doing it because of the money. I'm not doing it because
right.
it's what I want to do or because what it's, you know, what I'm here to do.
Right.
And so I think it's about being really clear about what is it that you want. And again, we were talking before about that reverse engineering piece, you know, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? And does this help get you to there?
Right.
And I mean, there are some things that you might, in quotes, need to do in order to build positioning and
right.
in order to do different things. It is not necessarily in your zone of genius. That's kind of like,
right.
we don't like a hammer, but it's really effective at hammering a nail in the wall.
Right.
So
and
we
if
can
a nail
put up
shows
that
up,
picture.
Right. If a nail shows up and you have to hammer it in, you're not going to say, I don't like the hammer. Give me that those pair of pliers right there. I'm going to use that.
Right. You know, we use the tools that we have available.
Right.
So, there is that, but to me, it's just a matter of going, what are you willing to do? And the more important question actually is, what are you unwilling to do?
Right. Yeah, the deal breakers, right? Those like boundary points. And it's so funny. I think when people come to that realization, as you have, it's such a life-changing moment. And it's not about how much you've learned or what strategies you know or tactics. A lot of times, sometimes it's just kind of like taking the ownership of the boundaries that are important to you so that you can actually own the type of life you truly want and not stop living somebody else's definition or somebody else within somebody else's boundaries, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
Exactly.
very cool. And believe it or not, we're actually getting close to the top of the hour. Holy cow. And I
Oh,
see light coming in. The sun is
there is
rising.
light. We have sun.
Wow, we talked until the sun came up. No. Okay, so this is so fantastic in terms of all the content, your stories and what you went through and everything like that. And I guarantee there's somebody's probably going to listen to this, whether it be in your tribe or our audience and everything, that are going to say, okay, for example, people who are on the fence, do I work with Nicola or not? Or on the fence of, do I work with somebody who truly understands what it takes to do digital marketing and help my business grow? And what I love about your approach, and I love about today's interview, even though you work in digital marketing and everything like that, we talked very little about it because it's not just about that, because you can Google that to death. What it is about tapping into your unique genius, your ability to set those boundaries so that when we apply those strategies, they actually work in an optimal way.
For
Right?
you.
Yeah, for you. Exactly. I love it. I love it. So
Yeah.
if they wanted to reach out to you, if they wanted to connect with you, how do they do that? And I'm going to go ahead and type this into our comments section for our Spreaker
Sure.
app.
So hold the phone. I think you'll be really surprised by this, but I'm all over social media.
How's that possible? I mean, you just teach it. It doesn't mean it's supposed to be all
Tara.
over it. Oh,
Funny.
practice what you
So,
preach. Oh, yeah, that stuff.
yeah. So, if you want, I'm on Facebook. So, just search my name and I'm there. So, Nicola Maras. I think the link is facebook.com/NicolaJ
Okay.
Maras. My website is nicolamaras.com.au because Australia
Yeah.
and all that.
So, what? NicolaMoras.com.au.
Correct.
Got it. Okay.
They're probably the two main places to
Yeah.
find me and hang out.
Okay, great. And is there, I think you sent over something that they can, is there something that they can like get when they get onto that, the website of yours?
There is a tab that has free stuff.
Ooh.
So
Is it called Free
what I
Stuff?
would probably do if anybody who's listening, rather than me giving you a specific thing that, hey, go and download this, go see if there's something in there that will help. So just go to that free stuff tab.
It says Free
There's
Stuff?
seven different things. You'll see the menu across the top. If you're on desktop, if you're on mobile, you'll see
A menu thing,
there's like
like a
the
three
little
line
pinky
thing, and
thing.
click on it.
The little thing.
The little thing. The little thing that you just touch and it opens up the menu.
That's the one. Yeah, the three line thing.
Okay, cool. And so let's talk about, so if you want to go connect with Nicola, go search for her. She's all over the interwebs, social media especially, because that's kind of her area of expertise. Or you can go to nicolamoras.com.au because he's down in Australia. And then when you go to the website, click on the free stuff tab to kind of get an experience of what it's like to be in her energy, her space, her mojo, if you will. And here's the thing, a lot of people will listen and said, okay, great, this is all fine and dandy. I can absolutely relate to everything that you went through. If someone who is currently suffering in the middle of dealing with like that burnout, that struggling with, I'm making money, but my life is being sacrificed, my lifestyle is being, my family, my kids and everything. How do I break away from that? What is one thing, you know, and especially I think for those moms out there who are, you know, ambitious entrepreneurs are not really making it, and they're fighting the societal expectation is that's not how you be a quote unquote mom.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah,
a lot of my mom clients, I said, you know what? I'm looking at your assessment results and it's okay. You're not designed to be that stereotype and that's why you're struggling with it. It's okay, you know?
Exactly.
But anyway, what would be something that was, you know, that you found is probably universally applicable in terms of helping these moms or even dads who are struggling with that as well to kind of break that cycle? And finally step into exchanging time for dollars or working hard and, and just exponential growth?
Great question. My advice around that is that it's going to feel really hard.
Mm-hmm.
You actually need to stop. You actually need to stop. It feels counterintuitive because I know you've got to make money and I know that you've got client delivery and I know that you've got to do programs and you've got to do your consulting and you've got to do the creative and you've got to do the blah, 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 blah. You've just actually got to stop and gift yourself the time and space to come back to why are you doing this?
Right.
What do you see as being your... like your next big milestone, perhaps, or it might feel like way out, but like where do you see yourself ending up?
Right.
As a not ending up, but in a point.
Right.
And then what do you really want to do? You know, seriously, what is it that you actually really want to do?
Mm-hmm.
My big thing was that if it's not fun, I'm not doing it.
Right. Right.
So what is it for you? And then you allow yourself the space to be able to rebuild, recalibrate what you're doing to fit that. And there will be, I can guarantee you, there will be some things that you need to let go of that will probably make you want to vomit. Because it feels like you should be doing them because it's what you've always done or, you know, whatever. And yeah, just you've got to – the only way that you can hear your intuition, the only way that you can learn to trust yourself is to give yourself the space to actually hear it or feel it.
Right.
Otherwise, you're just operating on adrenaline and feedback versus going in.
Yeah, and I know you mentioned fun a lot, and I think, you know, that's such a critical component when it comes to entrepreneurship because, you know, oftentimes when I go to events and I speak to a room full of entrepreneurs and I ask, how many of you here are entrepreneurs? And everybody raises their hand, and the first thing that comes out of my mouth next is, y'all are crazy. Because nobody in the right mind would ever choose to be an entrepreneur if they knew exactly what that. How many have been an entrepreneur for at least 2-3 years? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. It's absolute ludicrousy.
But you can be an entrepreneur and have $1 million business in, you know, 90 days. Just follow that formula, you know.
You can just push a button and then basically let the software do all the work.
That's right. I only need to sell like 10,000 things at a dollar and I'm going to make 10 grand, you know.
What do you mean I have to do the accounting? Wait, what do you have to mean I have to do like, you know, creatives? What are you talking about? Memes and whatnot. But I think especially for entrepreneurs, I mean, fun actually has to be, and everybody has their own definition of fun, right?
Exactly.
So I think taking, and it's kind of sad when you ask somebody, says, well, what's fun for you? And they say, I don't know. Maybe that's where we begin.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're just going through the motions. And as an entrepreneur, going through the motions, you might as well just get a job.
Exactly. But I think one of the other things to layer on in that, and that's exactly right, what's fun for you is different. What's fun for you and I probably have the same fun, actually. what does fun look like? And the other thing in there is that, well, take the money out of it.
Right.
If you had $25 million in the bank,
yeah.
and you did not owe $10 million or $1 million, whatever the money is that you feel like you need to have in order to feel safe
Right.
and whatever, if you did not have to make money, what would you be doing? Because I
Exactly.
can guarantee you, for me, it's this. It's speaking at your event. It's delivering this stuff. It's helping people
Absolutely.
achieve their potential. So
Yeah.
what would you be doing if money was no issue?
Oh, I agree. I would walk the world and just do keep doing what I'm doing and just do it everywhere I can, you know.
Yes.
But it's,
Yes.
you know, and but that's just us. Doesn't necessarily mean it's, you know, everybody. So
Yeah,
I
there's
think
also somebody who might be like, I've just spent all my day writing. And I'm like,
yeah. Yeah, I literally had somebody say that to me that if I had all the money in the world, I would just write endless amounts of books, you know. You
Wow.
know.
Go do that.
Exactly. We just had a comment finally says, "Excellent advice. Love that question. If I didn't have to make money, what would I be doing?" Yes.
Oh,
Absolutely.
thank you. Yay, we've
Absolutely.
got listeners live.
I know. That's awesome. Yay. How do I say that? I add that to the broadcast. Tribe Life. Thanks for jumping on. Tribe
Oh,
Life
that's
8.
Tamara. Hey, Tamara.
Yay. So yeah, very cool. But yeah, I mean, so yeah, I think that's a really important piece, and I think that's a great place to kind of like leave things off because we're at the top of the hour. I have a sneaking suspicion that I might have you come back on, or we'll just do a whole separate little broadcast, especially since you're coming out to speak on our stage. Exciting next year, yay! You know, feeding into that fun piece, right? That we'll do no matter
Yeah.
what it is. So, Nicola, thank you so much for taking the time, waking up so early on the other side of the planet to, you know, kind of share your expertise, your knowledge, your experience, your journey, and all the nuggets that have come with it. I mean, beyond what we pointed out, I feel like there's layers to that, you know, just for sharing your story. So really appreciate that. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to the ripple effects of what you've shared will impact somebody's life, you know, not just your tribe, but our audience here as well over
Yeah.
on this side of the planet. And also, I mean, we have people in the UK, we have people, yeah, just everywhere. So
We're
the world we
global,
live in.
baby. We are global.
We're global, internationally viable. Okay, so that's our show for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Again, if you found this episode to be valuable and know of someone else that could benefit, and if you didn't find any value around it, oh my goodness, I don't know what you're doing. What show were you listening to? Obviously not this one. But
True that.
if you know someone else that could benefit from what Nicola talked about today, share it. Make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes and give us a thumbs up on YouTube Live. Sounds good? All right. That's basically a wrap. Have an amazing week applying the knowledge from today. We'll be back next week on the Money Lab Live podcast, where we are joined by Andre Villeroy, founder of the private equity firm Bjork Inc. This is Wei from the Money Lab and Nicola Moraes from Down Under signing off.
Thank you.
Your money make a world go round.